The Australian Presbyterian Bible Church. Christ without compromise. The Bible without qualification. Sermon today, the launching of eternity for man, part two. We've been looking at a number of aspects of launchings of man, of the universe, of various vast events such as the universal flood with its tremendous planed surfaces left, attesting its relative recency and enormous coverage upon the earth, and its stratifications so unmarred over the relatively short time since they were first made, each upon each, relatively straightforward depositions and compositions of these straight, unmarred surfaces. We've been looking then at a number of the launchings. The next one, of course, is the launching, the final one, is the launching of the fire, in which the earth will melt with fervent heat, and there will no place be found for it. So those who may be saying, well, maybe in the millennium I'll be able to cash in on some of my investments in land, won't have a place to invest in when the time comes and the time before that. Well, they may be those who will rise up at the end of the millennium before the final fatal judgment occurs. Fateful, but faithful as far as the Christians are concerned. So now I want to proceed then with this launching of these various epochs, eras, events which have made history and made the situation for man what it is. What is it? Well, there were a number of things that may be put together. There was the case of the flood, mentioned already, which was a fast-moving case. 120 years preparation, you see. We in Australia, for example, I think it's fast. I've personally been a witness to and participant in some of the wicked departures which, like the time before the flood, when the spiritual and godly and the unspiritual and godless mixed into a sort of mauve passion of dissidence and revolt. Australia has been moving in those ways to my own personal experience in the last 60 years and in my clear and intimate knowledge from 1935 just in our own Presbyterian sector. What's that? 80 years just there. The flood, 120 years. It takes a little time sometimes in preparation. 120 years, you feel safe. Noah's building that farcical, ridiculous ark where there's no water. Let him. The years pass. The situation gets worse, as in Australia, where unless my ears or eyes have deceived me, children, little children's bodies are being operated on to change them because of the whim of a kid who doesn't understand a quarter of what's going on and may, by careful propaganda, conscious or unconscious, be moved to do things to ruin his life in one of the greatest forms of bullying intrusion conceivable. To me, I can hardly imagine the size of the millstone that goes for those who do such things. And then, of course, they've been teaching them for years. In effect, that nothing produces everything, one of the maddest, ridiculous things, covered up in words, in phrases, sickening things, pulsations of things, the beginning. Where did the pulsations come from? Where did the pressure come from? Where did the space come from? Where did all the arrangements mathematically which lead so brilliantly from nothing to something happen? Why take all the things for granted and explain nothing? This has been the muck that's been poured upon the children vigorously, officially, defiantly, with hardly any space for creation, which is the only logical option. Have what's there and that produces it. If it's not there, it can't come from nothing. That's been going on since that time. I'm making a comparison. The flood, 120 years, to mock it! Ah! Australia, well, I've just been looking at a very large time while the mockery of the Bible has been gaining in vehemence, viciousness, child pornography, teaching them wickedness and corruption. Pornography by the educators. Atheism by the educators who say, religion is important, but it doesn't concern the facts. It doesn't concern the facts. Oh boy. The fictitious facts. The nonsense department. The para-Nazi youth indoctrination program. I say the flood had lots of warning, but when it came, it was sudden. I look at Australia with pity. Oh, the thanklessness for the inheritance of order and law and constitutional felicity in which they say, relying on Almighty God, how different now. At least is the unpurged publication from the government. When it happened at Sudden, and I greatly concerned myself, in a moment, Australia could be virtually stricken off the map as a free country. Free! You can't be free when you compel wickedness without free speech, free thought, free opportunity, and free scholarship. What is scholarship if it is not free, I ask you? As is not. Has not for a long time been remotely like it. I myself gave in a position lecturing because I was not willing to tie my tongue in knots to speak what wasn't true and omit what is the truth. You can do it. In the meantime, there's something which is slow in its own operation. The flood was fast when it came. Sudden desolation is going to come, 1 Thessalonians 5, just when people think they've got peace. But there's something else which is fast in its very, slow in its very method. Genomic entropy, which means in your cells, the DNA gives commands. The commands have to be interpreted. It's a conceptual matter, it's mental. And the interpretation has to be applied, it's engineering, it's material. And the application has to match the command, as in an assembly line, with considerable precision. Because there are copies of so vast an amount of information, there are errors. Even though there's an editing procedure and other procedures, to preserve the text as it's copied from generation to generation, from father to infant and so forth, and mother to child. These mistakes occur, one. Aggregate, two. And leave an increasingly washed out DNA. Latest research from a professor of great note, who has been for many years now in retirement at Cornell, indicates that only thousands of years could be left before the genetics that are in us are so corrupted that the human race could not function at all. You see many enormities coming in children increasingly, each generation and more. It's all been set out in great detail now in its fourth edition, his book on genomic entropy. There is a fairly slow acting but absolutely fatal end to man. And when you add his atomic pollution and madman, if you get a madman with a nuclear bomb, whether his madman character comes from militant Muslim or militant Nazi or militant communist or militant papal, as in the Inquisition, sources doesn't matter very much. If you get a madman these days, he might be brilliant in mind, but mad in spirit. Evil spirits haven't departed this earth. You read considerably about them in this and that and the other place. And I'm not sure they're not coming back into this land. But all these things are coming, and when you get this nuclear possibility that one man will foul up large portions of the earth by the power he's got through dictating his doctrine and not allowing freedom, as I repeat, is the case increasingly in Australia. I have warned about it right since 1988 area. I continue to warn against it. This madness. You must face the truth. You must not make fiction out of facts and facts out of fiction. You must stop the inhibition of knowledge and scholarship. You must allow absolute free entry, not of violence. That is a vile substitute for the truth, having nothing to do with Christ, who said, "My kingdom is not of this world. Otherwise would my servants fight." You can have religions, Nazism or whatever, which base themselves in whole or in part, in their books or in their creeds, on victory until nobody stands but such and such a God, such as Allah in some cases. But you will get nowhere good by suppressing what is the case. It is necessary that the sublimity of truth be realized in its source, in God and in Christ who came to present it personally, should be understood, realized, and relied on. So there you've got the sudden case and the slower case, and you've also got the immediate case as we look at launchings. The launching of the genome with its deterioration coming generation by generation. The launching of the flood. The launching of Israel back into its land. If we look at Isaiah 42:14. "I have held my peace a long time," says God. Time, see it? "I have been still and restrained myself," that we all need to learn of that. Now, time, now is the time, now, N-O-W, that's this now. "I will cry like a woman in labor." In other words, huge events with tremendous consequences. In the case of a woman with labor, a child with such talents and capacities. "I will pant and gasp like an athlete, like a woman in labor." And he goes on to indicate, "I will bring the blind in a way they didn't know. I'll lead them in paths that they have not known, or make darkness light before them. Hear you, deaf, and look you, blind," verse 18, "that you may see. Who is blind but my servant?" And he goes on to tell us here, as in chapter 49, that he will bring back his blind servant, not the church. Please notice the church is not blind. Light is a distinctive. His servant is blind because it was the nation that killed Christ that was blind and has not yet opened its national eyes, but God still loves it and has a profound future for it. And here indicates he will bring back this blind servant by a way they haven't known, and they will come back. And he goes on to tell of the riches which the Gentiles will give. Some of those, of course, came from Germany in its reparations for what it did after the World War II. But for many such cases, so much is given by America, so many billions and billions and billions. So all this was to happen and does happen, and this is another launching. The launching of the nation state of Israel after 1900 odd years back into its place, so we are filled and surrounded with launchings. While we're looking at these things, let's consider concerning Israel some fascinating facts. Just in the last few days, there's been a census statement about the population of Israel. We're significantly over 8 million. That is a very considerable amount, and its rate of advance has also been checked, and it would make it a considerable nation over years. At present, it's a considerable rate of rise every year. It has, of course, been attacked by the United Nations, and it is interesting, I have read in one of the news papers, foreign newspapers, regarding the fact that apparently all 100 U.S. senators have made a declaration asking the UN to stop victimizing Israel. Boy, such unanimity. And of course, UNESCO has been saying the most foolish things regarding Israel. That one of the latest being formulated by them, that none of Jerusalem belongs to Israel, Wailing Wall included. It has become ludicrous and lost all credibility, as the action by the U.S. senators so aptly confirms. These are some of the things in this launching, which is now going very progressively ahead. But it's time that we looked at the greatest launchings. One, the incarnation. The second person of the Trinity set in flesh. The ultimate spiritual ark, as Peter said, the antitype, where Christ is like an ark into which people enter through the door, and then when they're in, it's sealed. They're safe in the designed ark, which of course is the plan of salvation, in the imagery being used by Peter. And we remind ourselves that not only was it important that the ark should not be immersed, he talks of ark in terms of baptism. He says it's not the baptism of water that is concerning us, it is the baptism of a clear conscience before God through the resurrection. So it's just as well, in principle, that ark was never immersed, sprinkled, no doubt, effused, perhaps. The incarnation of Christ is way beyond symbols. It is a substantial, satisfactory fact and act of God. That's one of the lovable things about God. He acts against Pharaoh. He acts against the pollution at the days of the flood. He acts to get the children of Israel out at the Exodus. He acts to bring in his only begotten son at the time of the incarnation. He acts to deliver that son when Herod was massacring the kids by warning them to go to Egypt. He acts when Christ's day comes so that he's not wasted as a babe but used as a man, and he is not axed but crucified. Slowly, drip, by, can you hear it? Drip, as his lungs are crushed and his heart is imperiled and his dignity is dishonored. 1900 years to suffer for it. But it's the repentance that is needed. Western nations are just as bad, no doubt, as they dally with Christ, and then as in Australia, as in the United States, whom Obama referred to as not a Christian nation, in probably the worst presidential statement ever made by any president of that country. He is removing its ultimate safety, in a word, if he can. No atomic bombs can atone for that. Let us hope the better things . So the action of God, the incarnation, John 10:9, referring to that ark. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. There are no ifs. There are no buts. Door, enter, saved. Going out to find pasture. Know my sheep. He that comes, my sheep, they are never to perish. Get that? Never to perish. Entered by the door, which is Christ Jesus. There is no other. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. There is no other. This is it. It is as simple as E equals MC squared, and simpler, deeper by far, understandable by a child, sufficiently for salvation. Some 33 years later, another vast, one of the two crucial launchings, the resurrection, the body. As I get nearer to 90, I become more aware of my body. I can hardly believe that at one stage I lost something like 20 kilos and don't seem to have been aware of the fact. And my sister pointed it out to me, and I became aware of it. And it had something to do with some tumor, which mercifully wasn't an active one, but nevertheless seemed to me quite active enough. There are things that relate to the body. Someone gets flu. Someone gets pneumonia. Someone has a cancer in the stomach. Cancer of the lungs, a tumor in the head. In a moment, some of these things be seen, visualized, interpreted. They're there. In many cases, within days. I always remember in New Zealand when I was pastoring there. Within days, a young carpenter of muscle and power in a sports car is laid to rest. Bowel cancer. I remember the great meeting, and I remember preaching the gospel to them. For when you meet death, you've got to meet the gospel, and that's because of the resurrection, a working gospel, because here, as I was saying, God acted. That's one of the things I love. He doesn't sit back and do nothing. And in that action, think of it. There he is, a pitiable, pallid, pierced, misrepresented, apparently doomed, devastated, drip-freed, residue, remnant, as if a lion had mauled. But no bones broken, as predicted. There is this rump, this residue, this remnant, this pitiable pile of protoplasm. In the tomb, a rich man's tomb, easy to discern, no possibility of misunderstanding it. Hewn out of rock. Dreams, apparently, doomed. Vision, discarded. The world, in its force, oh, how I hate religions of force as their center. As if you could force faith. You can't force love, you can't force faith. Or hope. There he lies, but he doesn't stay there. God acts, God acts. As the sun peeps above the horizon. The boulder is removed. The soldiers who have been guarding it, no doubt in fear of their lives, are dazzled, dazed, amazed, incredulous, shocked, appalled, horrified, and the ground trembles. They go into a sort of concussion. Fear and hope, duty and faithfulness, danger to their careers and heads. If the man comes out, as some thought he might, and he said he would, they're in a dazed condition. They hardly know what's happening. Horror! He's gone! We must find him. Remember how they tried to find Elijah's body when he went in the chariot of fire? They couldn't. Elijah had told them so, but they went searching. So, where's his body? But they can't find it. The combined power of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish police, The greatest empire then in the world, Rome, have failed, though they had been given 1,000 years or so of notice. There's always a question of a preemptive strike and which nation may profit by it, as the Japanese did at Pearl Harbor. But this was no preemptive strike. You got 1,000 years notice. And they still were overwhelmed by the power of God, and the poor, humiliated, horrified, dazed, grieved guards went. What had happened? Oh, they came and stole them while we slept. Some sleep. This dazed, consternation, horror. How could they know somebody took him while they were asleep? But you can see how it might begin to come. In their dazed condition of horrified fear and distraught concern and apprehension, stricken by all the movement and action, they come, as it were, out of a daze. They immediately assume what they couldn't see, but what did happen, and what did happen was what even the Sanhedrin refused to see. But Christ paraded for 40 days. He taught, he ate, he spoke, he was investigated digitally, or free to do so by Thomas, who insisted on a proper scientific, I use the word in an appropriate sense. It didn't start to be invented in its sense. Now, it was way back there, a mode. He was interested in the scientific fact, and he was not satisfied without it, and he got it. The launching of the resurrection then is the other great launching, and then, of course, there was the launching of salvation in the name of Jesus. This Jesus, whom you crucified, says daring Peter to the people able to have him executed, God has made Lord. David spoke, his flesh shall not rot. This is he. So the salvation spread. There is no other name, Acts 4:11-12. There is no other name under heaven. It's not an oddity, as they're beginning to think, that they can't now find another earth with another life and another form. Even Paul Davies, once so strangely messing around with nothing as a source and giving it up, even he is beginning to think, well, the chances against it are enormous. It's more than enormous chance. Nothing can not produce anything now or any time, or it would be something with potential. You can't start with it. You have to start, as in all things, with something adequate to produce it. It's mind. It's will. It's psyche. It's memory. It's capacity to deny facts if it wants to. We can't do that. Our most sophisticated programs fail. Because the more it is a program, the more statistical elements and conditions that there are, the more statistical contrivances that are put in to give the illusion of freedom, the less free it is. If you make it, it's made according to specification, and it doesn't make them, you do. However indirectly, your hand is at work. God created freedom. You can look at indisputable facts and deny them, as Peter did when he got scared, and as many others do who are scared of having to obey God and would prefer the hope that somehow they will escape at the last moment. You can hope. You can deceive yourself. The freedom given to man is a colossus. It is a launching of the most fantastic quality. And though it has been somewhat aborted by sin's suffusion in the heart, like these people who have been teaching nonsense since 1988 in South Australia to school students, and forbidding the competitive teaching of creation, can you believe such bullying, braggarting, braggadocio. Cut out the other option. Force them to this nonsense. I say freedom is a great launching, and it permits even flying in the face of facts, indubitable, unmatchable. As here, we're deep in the heart of Texas, as it were, when it comes to the molestation of the minds and now the bodies and the imaginations of children. As if we were helping them by our adult brutality to mind and matter. This is showing you the tremendous power of freedom and the tremendous responsibility. Some seem to imagine that responsibility ceases. It does not. When God gets into a natural situation and sin naturally does blight man's power of freedom, it hooks him up, like those hooked up in a hospital bed with all these tubes. But when God comes on the scene, as in the long day of Joshua, as in the resurrection, as in salvation, all natural barriers, of course, are removed. It wasn't natural that Christ was resurrected. It was an act of creative majesty of the Creator of the earth that raised him up and presented the new dynamics adequate for the reconstruction. And so, in the spiritual domain equally, when God is on the scene and the Spirit convicts, God is able to remove the impediments. And in any case, as long ago in his foreknowledge before the world, all man, all sin ever existed on earth, he foreknew who were his with that love which would have all people, as he says, to be reconciled to himself. He knew it in that domain and dimension, and none will go to hell because of a short circuit in the love or wisdom of God. But many will go because of a short circuit and rebellion in their own hearts. The way is open. It is plain. It's wide. It's easy. The other way, well, it requires you to live a life of your Creator and with your Creator, with a stupendous friendship and power and an amazing change which turns the horribly lamentable into the marvelously solvable. I find a matter of faith. If there's a problem, God will solve it. It may humiliate me. I don't mind. My non-humiliation's got nothing to do with it. But I will be delivered, and delivered to do what I'm supposed to do. And I'll be delivered like an athlete by his coach, by a rich man by a ransom, because he has ransomed me. And so for all, as we were saying, who come to him. So we've been looking at these great axes, these great launchings, the incarnation, the resurrection of the body of Christ, leading on, of course, to the resurrection of the bodies of all those others when the time comes. There are some things, like the creation, like the flood, that you have to wait for. And if we look in Habakkuk, what do we find? This. Habakkuk's been saying, there's so much evil. There's so much violence. What's the answer to this? You have purer eyes, O Lord, than to look on iniquity. How's it going to be met? Chapter 2 of Habakkuk. Habakkuk's, well, now I'll see what the Lord says about this. I'm going to get corrected here. I will stand my watch. It's good to pour out your heart to the Lord, so long as your faith is firm, and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time when all the matters are launched. But at the end it will speak, it will be an action. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. I leave you with that message. Wait for it. There have been many things to wait for. The return of Jesus Christ is a thing to wait for. The resurrection of the body is a thing to wait for. Just as the World War II invasion through Normandy was a thing to wait for. And for years, it was debated, it was discussed, it was planned, it was considered. There were political forces, there were dynamics of speech, there were pleadings, there were commands, there were demands. There were even trouble about the weather as to which day it should occur. There were even hoaxes, things set up to resemble an invasion from a different area to mislead the enemy. It was a tremendous, a fantastic, a vast undertaking of prodigious proportions, built up in many respects and strategies and dynamics and provisions and all sorts of plans and contingencies. But when it came, it was there. When it came, it went. Whether or not, wait for it! There are things for which you must wait until God works all his purposes out in this earth and shows the mucky muddle of the United Nations. The underlying force latent even in the Quran, blatant in its collision with the nature of faith and of love and of truth and of God. To show the rubbishy nature of the secular mystery, which sets itself forth based on nothing, doing everything and in the end making man like a god. That's what's happening in the United Nations. They're becoming more and more like a god than in Australia. People's feelings, in certain cases, have precedence over, wait for it, facts. Justice is debauched in its appearance, because people are not treated equally, because of feelings. Is Australia to become a slave state despite the efforts of so many in two world wars? Giving in to this horrible squalid squabble of pure and utter unjust nonsense? It's a question. I tell you, it's a question. It needs revival. And so we think in final thought, the Challenger went forth into space. It was to be the place that rocketed for teaching from space. It was to enthuse the younger generation about space. And it exploded like a myth. When Jesus returns, as when he came the first time, as in all the testimonies to him ever since, there'll be no explosion in space. There'll be an implosion from as he draws his people to himself. That's what you wait for. That's the launching of the Christian church into eternity. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for the launchings and of the significance of time. We're not allowed to know when Christ will come and all things will be passed in review, but it is important to know that there is a time of his choosing. Wait for it, we hear. Grant us to wait in patience, adorning the gospel through Jesus Christ. Amen.